Joshua chapter 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, that Yahweh spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' chief assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot will walk. I have given it to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, where the sun goes down, will be your land. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not abandon you or leave you. Be strong and courageous. You will cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors I would give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law must not leave your mouth. You must meditate on it day and night, so that you can be careful to do all that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Yahweh, your God, is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the leaders of the people, go through the camp and command the people, prepare provisions for yourselves. In 3 days you will cross over this Jordan and go in and possess the land that Yahweh, your God, is giving you to possess. To the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, call to mind the word that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you when he said, Yahweh, your God, is giving you rest, and he is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock will stay in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But your mighty warriors will go over with your brothers and help them until Yahweh has given your brothers rest, just as he has given it to you. Then they also will take possession of the land Yahweh your God gives them. Then you will return to your own land and possess it, the land that Moses the servant of Yahweh gave you beyond the Jordan, where the sun rises. Then they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. Only may Yahweh your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commands and disobeys the words you have commanded them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 10. Now when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured Ai and had completely destroyed it, just as he had done to Jericho and its king, he also heard how the people of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were living among them. The people of Jerusalem were very afraid because Gibeon was a large city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were mighty warriors. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent a message to Hoham, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Deber, king of Eglon. Come up to me and help me. Let us attack Gibeon, because they have made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel. The 5 kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, came up, they and all of their armies. They encamped near Gibeon, and they attacked it. The people of Gibeon sent a message to Joshua and to the army at Gilgal. They said, "Hurry, do not withdraw your hands from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who live in the hill country have gathered together to attack us." Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the men of war with him, and all the mighty warriors. Yahweh said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to stop your attack." Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. Yahweh confused the enemy before Israel, and Israel killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and pursued them on the road, going up to Beth Horon, and they killed them on the road to Azekah and Makkedah. As they ran away from Israel, down the hill from Beth Horon, Yahweh threw large stones down from heaven upon them, all the way to Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than who were killed with the sword by the men of Israel. Then Joshua spoke to Yahweh on the day Yahweh gave the men of Israel victory over the Amorites. This is what Joshua said to Yahweh before Israel: "Sun, be still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon." The sun stood still, and the moon stopped moving until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky. It did not go down for about a whole day. There has been no other day like it before or after it, when Yahweh obeyed the voice of a human being. For Yahweh was waging war on behalf of Israel. Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp at Gilgal. Now the five kings had escaped and hidden themselves in the cave at Makkedah. It was told to Joshua, "They have been found, the five kings hidden in the cave at Makkedah." Joshua said, "Roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and place soldiers there to guard them. Do not stay yourselves. Pursue your enemies and attack them from the rear. Do not permit them to enter into their cities, because Yahweh your God has given them into your hand." Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished slaughtering them with a very great slaughter, until they were almost completely destroyed. Only a few survivors who escaped reached the fortified cities. Then the whole army returned in peace to Joshua at the camp at Makkedah. No one dared to say one word against any of the people of Israel. Then Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave, and out of the cave bring to me these five kings." They did as he said. They brought to him these five kings from the cave: the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. When they brought the kings to Joshua, he summoned every man of Israel. He said to the commanders of the soldiers who had gone into battle with him, "Put your feet on their necks." So they came up and put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Be strong and courageous. This is what Yahweh will do to all your enemies you are going to fight." Then Joshua struck the kings. He hung them on five trees. They hung on the trees until evening. When it was sunset, Joshua gave orders, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden themselves. They put large stones over the mouth of the cave. Those stones remain there to this very day. In this way, Joshua captured Makkedah on that day and killed everyone there with the sword, including its king. He completely destroyed everyone in it. He left no survivor in it. He did to the king of Makkedah just as he had done to the king of Jericho. Joshua and all Israel passed on from Makkedah to Libnah. He went into battle against Libnah. Yahweh also gave it into the hand of Israel, along with their king. Joshua struck it with the edge of the sword, and every person in it. He left no survivor in it. He did to its king just as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Libnah to Lachish. He camped by it and waged war against it.
Yahweh gave Lachish into the hand of Israel.
Joshua captured it on the second day and struck it with the edge of the sword, and every person in it,
just as he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Jezer, came up to help Lachish.
Joshua attacked him and his army until there was not even one survivor left.
Then Joshua and all Israel passed on from Lachish to Eglon.
They camped by it and waged war against it,
and captured it that same day. They struck it with the edge of the sword, and they completely destroyed everyone in it, as Joshua had done to Lachish.
Then Joshua and all Israel passed on from Eglon to Hebron. They waged war against it. They captured it and struck it with the edge of the sword, together with its king and its villages and all the people in it. They left no survivors, just as they had done to Eglon. They totally destroyed it and every person in it. Then Joshua turned, and all the army of Israel with him.
And they passed on to Debir,
and waged war against it. They captured it, its king, and all its nearby villages. They struck them with the edge of the sword, and completely destroyed every person in it. They left no survivor.
They did to Debir
and its king, as they had done to Libnah and its king, and to Hebron.
Joshua conquered all the land, the hill country, the Negev, the lowlands, and the foothills. Of all their kings, he left not one survivor. He completely destroyed everything that breathed, just as Yahweh, the God of Israel, had commanded.
Joshua struck them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza, and all the country of Goshen to Gibeon. Joshua captured all these kings and their land at one time because Yahweh, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp at Gilgal. Joshua chapter 11. When Jabin, king of Hazor, heard this, he sent a message to Jobab, king of Madon, to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshaph. So he also sent the message to the kings who were in the northern hill country, in the Jordan River valley south of Kinnereth, in the lowlands, and in Naphath Dor to the west. He also sent a message to the Canaanites to the east and west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites in the hill country, and the Hivites by Mount Hermon in the land of Mizpah. All their armies came out with them, a great number of soldiers, in number like the sand on the seashore. They had a great number of horses and chariots. All these kings met at the appointed time, and they camped at the waters of Merom to wage war with Israel. Yahweh said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid in their presence, because tomorrow at this time I am giving them all to Israel as dead men. You will hamstring their horses, and you will burn their chariots." Joshua and all the men of war came. They arrived suddenly at the waters of Merom and attacked the enemy. Yahweh gave the enemy into the hand of Israel, and they struck them and pursued them to Sidon, Mizrephoth, Merom, and to the valley of Mizpah to the east. They struck them until not even one survivor of them was left. Joshua did to them just as Yahweh told him. He hamstrung the horses and burned the chariots. Joshua turned back at that time and captured Hazor. He struck its king with the sword. Hazor had been head of all these kingdoms. They struck with the sword every living creature that was there, and he set them apart to be destroyed, so there was not any living creature left alive. Then he burned Hazor. Joshua captured all the cities of these kings. He also captured all their kings and struck them with the edge of the sword. He completely destroyed them with the edge of the sword, just as Moses, the servant of Yahweh, had commanded. Israel did not burn any of the cities built on mounds except Hazor. It alone Joshua burned. The army of Israel took all the plunder from these cities, along with the livestock, for themselves. They killed every human being with the edge of the sword until all were dead. They left alive no creature that breathed. Just as Yahweh had commanded his servant Moses, in the same way Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did it. He left nothing undone of all that Yahweh commanded Moses to do. Joshua took all that land, the hill country, all the Negev, all the land of Goshen, the foothills, the Jordan River Valley, the hill country of Israel and its lowlands, from Mount Halak near Edom, and going north as far as Baal Gad in the valley near Lebanon below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and put them to death. Joshua waged war for a long time with all the kings. Not one city made peace with the army of Israel except the Hivites, who lived in Gibeon. Israel captured all the rest of the cities in battle, for it was Yahweh who hardened their hearts so they would wage war against Israel, so that they might be devoted to destruction without mercy, just as he had instructed Moses. Then Joshua came at that time, and he destroyed the Anakim. He did this in the hill country, at Hebron, Debir, Anab, and in all the hill country of Judah, and in all the hill country of Israel. Joshua completely destroyed them and their cities. None of the Anakim were left in the land of Israel, except at Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. So Joshua captured the whole land, just as Yahweh said to Moses. Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel, assigned to each of their tribes. Then the land had rest from the wars. Joshua chapter 12. Now these are the kings of the land whom the men of Israel conquered. The people of Israel took possession of the land on the east side of the Jordan, where the sun rises, from the valley of the Arnon River to Mount Hermon, and all the Arabah to the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, lived in Heshbon. He ruled from Aroer, which is on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, from the middle of the valley, and half of Gilead, down to the Jabbok River, on the border of the Ammonites. Sihon also ruled over the Arabah to the Sea of Kinnereth, to the east, to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, eastward, all the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and southward toward the foot of the slopes of Mount Pisgah. Og, king of Bashan, one of the remnant of the Rephaim, lived in Ashtaroth and Edrea. He ruled over Mount Hermon, Salaka, and all Bashan, to the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and half of Gilead to the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the people of Israel had defeated them, and Moses, the servant of Yahweh, gave the land as a possession to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. These are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the people of Israel defeated on the west side of the Jordan, from Baal Gad in the valley near Lebanon, to Mount Halak near Edom. Joshua gave land to the tribes of Israel for them to possess. He gave them the hill country, the lowlands, the Arabah, the sides of the mountains, the wilderness, and the Negev, the land of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. The kings included the king of Jericho, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, the king of Jezer, the king of Debir, the king of Jeder, the king of Hormah, the king of Ered, the king of Libna, the king of Adullam, the king of Makkedah,
the king of Bethel, the king of Tappuah, the king of Hefer, the king of Aphek,
the king of Lasharon, the king of Medan, the king of Hazor, the king of Shimron Meron, the king of Akshaph,
the king of Taanach,
the king of Megiddo,
the king of Kedesh,
the king of Jokneam in Carmel, the king of Dor in Naphoth Dor, the king of Goyim in Gilgal, and the king of Tirzah. The number of kings was 31 in all. Joshua chapter 13. Now Joshua was very old when Yahweh said to him, "You are very old, but there is still very much land to capture. This is the land that still remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Gezerites, from Shihor, which is east of Egypt, and northward to the border of Ekron, which is considered property of the Canaanites, the five rulers of the Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, the territory of the Avites in the south, all the lands of the Canaanites from Arah that belongs to the Sidonians,
as far as Aphek,
which is on the border of the Amorites, the land of Byblos, all of Lebanon toward the east, from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath, also all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon as far as Mifrethoth Maim,
including all the people of Sidon.
I will drive them out before the army of Israel. Be sure to assign the land to Israel as an inheritance, as I commanded you. Divide this land as an inheritance to the nine tribes and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. With the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites had received their inheritance that Moses, the servant of Yahweh,
gave them on the east side of the Jordan.
From Aroer, which is on the edge of the Arnon River Gorge, including the city that is in the middle of the gorge,
to all the plateau of Meraba, as far as Dibon,
all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon to the border of the Ammonites, Gilead, and the region of the Geshurites and Maacathites, all of Mount Hermon, all Bashan to Salika,
all the kingdom of Og in Bashan,
who reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrea. These are what was left of the remnant of the Ephraim. Moses struck them and drove them out. But the people of Israel did not drive out the Gezerites
or the Maacathites, and so Geshur and Maacah
live in the midst of Israel to this day. To the tribe of Levi alone Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings of Yahweh, the God of Israel, made by fire, are their inheritance, as God said to Moses. Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of Reuben, clan by clan. Their territory was from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon River Gorge, and the city that is in the middle of the valley,
and all the plateau by Meraba.
Reuben also received Heshbon, and all its cities that are in the plateau,
Dibon, and Bamoth Baal,
and Beth Baal Meon,
and Jahaz, and Kedemoth, and Mephahoth, and Kiriathaim,
and Sibmah, and Zereth Shahar on the hill of the valley. Reuben also received Beth Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, Beth Jeshimoth, all the cities of the plateau, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses had defeated together with the leaders of Midian, Evi,
Rechem,
Zur, Hur, and Reba, the princes of Sihon, who had lived in the land. The people of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam, son of Beor, who practiced divination among the rest of those they had killed. The border of the tribe of Reuben is the Jordan River. This is their boundary. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Reuben, given to each of their clans with their cities and villages. This is what Moses gave to the tribe of Gad, clan by clan. Their territory was Jazer, all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the Ammonites, to Aroer, which is east of Rabbath, from Heshbon to Ramoth-Mizpah and Betonim, from Maanaim to the territory of Debir. In the valley, Moses gave them Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, with the Jordan as a border, to the lower end of the Sea of Kinnereth, eastward beyond the Jordan. This is the inheritance of the tribe of Gad, clan by clan, with their cities and villages. Moses gave an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. It was assigned to the half-tribe of the descendants of Manasseh, clan by clan. Their territory was from Maanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jer, which are in Bashan, 60 cities, half of Gilead and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, the royal cities of Og in Bashan. These were assigned to the descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, half of the people of Machir, clan by clan. This is the inheritance that Moses assigned to them on the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan east of Jericho. Moses did not give an inheritance to the tribe of Levi. Yahweh, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, just as he said to them. Joshua chapter 14. These are the areas of land that the people of Israel received as their inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritance was selected by lot for the 9 1/2 tribes, just as Yahweh had commanded by the hand of Moses. For Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance. The tribe of Joseph was actually 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites were given no portion of the inheritance in the land, but only certain cities to live in, with their pasture lands for livestock and for their own material resources. The people of Israel did as Yahweh commanded Moses, so they assigned the land. Then the tribe of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what Yahweh said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Yahweh, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy on the land. I brought him a report again, as it was in my heart to make. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I completely followed Yahweh my God." Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has walked will be an inheritance for you and for your children forever, because you have completely followed Yahweh my God. Now look, Yahweh has kept me alive these 45 years, just as he said, from the time when Yahweh spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. Now look, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me out. My strength is now as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Now therefore give me this hill country, which Yahweh promised me on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that Yahweh will be with me, and that I will drive them out, just as Yahweh said." Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron as an inheritance to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he completely followed Yahweh, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba had been the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Joshua chapter 15. The assignment of land for the tribe of the people of Judah, clan by clan, extended south to the border of Edom, with the wilderness of Zin being the farthest point to the south. Their border on the south ran from the end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that faces to the south. Their boundary next went out to the south of the hill of Akrabim and passed along to Zin, and went up south of Kadesh Barnea, along by Hezron, and up to Adar, where it turned about to Karka. It passed along to Asmon, went by the brook of Egypt, and came to its end at the sea. This was their south boundary. The eastern boundary was the Salt Sea at the mouth of the Jordan. The border on the north ran from the bay of the sea at the mouth of the Jordan. It went up to Beth Hogla and passed along north of Beth Araba. Then it went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. Then the border went up to Debir from the valley of Achor, and so northward, turning toward Gilgal, which is opposite the hill of Adummim, which is on the south side of the valley. Then the border passed along to the springs of En Shemesh and went to En Rogel. Then the border went up the valley of Ben Hinnom to the south side of the Jebusite city, that is Jerusalem. Then it went up to the top of the hill that lies over the valley of Hinnom, on the west, which is at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. Then the border extended from the top of the hills to the spring of Nephtoah, and went out from there to the cities of Mount Hephron. Then the border bends around to Bala, the same as Kiriath Jearim. Then the border circled around west of Bala to Mount Seir, and passed along to the side of Mount Jearim on the north, the same as Kezalon, went down to Beth Shemesh, and crossed over to Timnah. The border went out beside the northern hill of Ekron, and then it bent around to Shikaron, and passed along to Mount Bala, and from there it went to Jabneel. The border ended at the sea. The western boundary was the Great Sea and its coastline. This is the border around the tribe of Judah, clan by clan. In keeping with the commandment of Yahweh to Joshua, Joshua gave Caleb, son of Jephunneh, an assignment of land among the tribe of Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, descendants of Anak. He went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir was formerly Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, "The man who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, to him I will give Aksah, my daughter, as a wife." When Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, captured it, Caleb gave him Aksah, his daughter, as a wife. Soon after that, Aksah came to Othniel and urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" Aksah replied, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me the land of the Negeb, also give me some springs of water." Then Caleb gave her the upper springs and lower springs. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Judah, clan by clan. The cities belonging to the tribe of Judah in the extreme south, toward the border of Edom, were Kabzeel, Eder, Jagur, Kenah, Dimona, Adada, Kadesh, Hazor, Ithnan, Ziph, Telem, Beeloth, Hazor, Hadatah, Kiriath, Hezron. This was also known as Hazor, Amam, Shema, Moleda, Hazah, Gadah, Heshmon, Beth Pelet, Hazah, Shuol, Beersheba, Biziathiah, Bela, Ayim, Ezem, Eltolad, Kezil, Horma, Ziklag, Medmena, Sansana, Leboeth, Shilhim, Ayin, and Rimmon. These were 29 cities in all, including their villages. In the lowlands, there were Eshtaol, Zora, Ashna, Zanoa, Enganim, Tapua, Enam, Jarmuth, Adullam, Soko, Azekah, Shearim, Adathaim, and Gedera, that is, Gederathaim. These were 14 cities in number, including their villages. Zenon, Hadasha, Migdal-Gad, Delian, Mizpah, Jokthiel, Lachish, Bozkath, Eglon, Kebon, Lamas, Kitlish, Gederoth, Beth-Dagon, Naamah, Nakeda. These were 16 cities in number, including their villages. Libna, Ether, Ashan, Iphthah, Ashna, Nezib, Keilah, Akzib, Meresha. These were 9 cities, including their villages. Ekron, with its surrounding towns and villages. From Ekron to the Great Sea, all the settlements that were near Ashdod, including their villages. Ashdod, its surrounding towns, including their villages. Gaza, its surrounding towns, including their villages, to the Brook of Egypt and to the Great Sea, with its coastline. In the hill country, Shemir, Chatir, Soko, Dana, Kiriath Sana, that is, Deber, Anab, Eshtemo, Anib, Goshen, Holon, and Gilo. These were 11 cities, including their villages. Arab, Duma, Eshan, Janib, Beth-Tapua, Aphekah, Humta, Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron, and Zior. These were 9 cities, including their villages. Maon, Carmel, Ziph, Jutta, Jezreel, Jokdiam, Zanoa, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah. These were 10 cities, including their villages. Halhul, Beth-Zur, Gedor, Merarath, Beth-Anoth, and Eltekon. These were 6 cities, including their villages. Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah. These were 2 cities, including their villages. In the wilderness, there were Beth Araba, Midin, Sekaka, Nibshan, the city of salt, and En-Gedi. These were 6 cities, including their villages. But as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the tribe of Judah could not drive them out. So the Jebusites lived there with the tribe of Judah to this day. Joshua chapter 16. The assignment of land for the tribe of Joseph extended from the Jordan at Jericho, east of the springs of Jericho, into the wilderness, going up from Jericho through the hill country of Bethel. Then it went from Bethel to Luz and passed along to Ataroth, the territory of the Arkites. Then it went down westward to the territory of the Japhletites, as far as the territory of Lower Beth-horon, and then on to Jezer. It ended at the sea. It was in this way that the tribes of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim received their inheritance. The territory of the tribe of Ephraim, clan by clan, the border of their inheritance on the east went from Ataroth Adar as far as Upper Beth-horon, and from there it continued to the sea. From Michmethoth on the north, it turned eastward toward Taanath Shiloh, and passed beyond it on the east to Genoa. Then it went down from Genoa to Ataroth and to Naarah, and then reached Jericho, ending at the Jordan. From Tapua, the border went westward to the brook of Cana and ended at the sea. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Ephraim, clan by clan, together with the cities that were chosen for the tribe of Ephraim, within the inheritance of the tribe of Manasseh, all the cities, including their villages. They did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, so that the Canaanites live within Ephraim to this day, but these people were made to do forced labor. Joshua chapter 17. This was the assignment of land for the tribe of Manasseh, who was the firstborn of Joseph, that is, for Machir, who was Manasseh's firstborn, and who himself was the father of Gilead. Machir's descendants were assigned the land of Gilead and Bashan, because Machir had been a man of war. Land was assigned to the rest of the tribe of Manasseh, given to their clans, Abiezer, Helek, Azrael, Shechem, Hepher, and Shemida. These were the male descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, presented by their clans. Now Zelophehad, son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters. The names of his daughters were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders, and they said, "Yahweh commanded Moses to give to us an inheritance along with our brothers. So, following the commandment of Yahweh, he gave those women an inheritance among the brothers of their father." 10 parcels of land were assigned to Manasseh in Gilead and Bashan, which is on the other side of the Jordan. Because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance along with his sons, the land of Gilead was assigned to the rest of the descendants of Manasseh. The territory of Manasseh reached from Asher to Michmethath, which is east of Shechem. Then the border went southward to those living near the spring of Tapua. The land of Tapua belonged to Manasseh, but the town of Tapua on the border of Manasseh belonged to the people of Ephraim. The border went down to the brook of Cana. These cities south of the brook among the towns of Manasseh belonged to Ephraim. The border of Manasseh was on the north side of the brook, and it ended at the sea. The land to the south belonged to Ephraim, and the land to the north was Manasseh's. The sea was the border. On the north side, Asher can be reached, and to the east, Issachar. Also in Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh possessed Beth Shan and its villages, Ibleam and its villages, the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, the inhabitants of Endor and its villages, the inhabitants of Taanach and its villages, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, and the third city is Napheth. Yet the tribe of Manasseh could not take possession of those cities, for the Canaanites continued to live in this land. When the people of Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not completely drive them out. Then the descendants of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given us only one assignment of land and one portion for an inheritance, since we are a people great in number, and all along Yahweh has blessed us?" Joshua said to them, "If you are a people great in number, go up by yourselves to the forest, and there clear the ground for yourselves in the land of the Perizzites and of the Rephaim. Do this, since the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you." The descendants of Joseph said, "The hill country is not enough for us, but all the Canaanites who live in the valley have chariots of iron. Both those who are in Beth Shan and its villages, and those who are in the valley of Jezreel. Then Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, you are a people great in number, and you have great power. You must not have only one piece of land assigned to you. The hill country will also be yours. Though it is a forest, you will clear it and take possession of it to its farthest borders. You will drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron, and even though they are strong. Joshua chapter 18. Then the whole assembly of the people of Israel met together at Shiloh. They set up the tent of meeting there, and they conquered the land before them. There were still 7 tribes among the people of Israel whose inheritance had not been assigned. Joshua said to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going into the land that Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, has given you? Appoint for yourselves 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them out. They will set out and survey the land up and down. They will write out a description of it with a view to their inheritances, and then they will come back to me. They will divide it into 7 sections. Judah will remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph will continue in their territory in the north. You will describe the land in 7 sections and bring the description here to me. I will cast lots for you here before Yahweh our God. The Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of Yahweh is their inheritance. Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan. This is the inheritance that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, gave them. So the men got up and went. Joshua commanded those who went to write the description of the land, saying, go up and down in the land and write a description of it and return to me. I will cast lots for you here before Yahweh at Shiloh. The men left and walked up and down in the land and wrote a description of it in a scroll by its cities in 7 sections, listing the cities in each section. Then they returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh. Then Joshua cast lots for them at Shiloh before Yahweh. It was there that Joshua assigned the land to the people of Israel, and to each was given his portion of the land. The assignment of land for the tribe of Benjamin came up clan by clan. The territory of their assigned land was located between the descendants of Judah and the descendants of Joseph. On the north side, their border began at the Jordan. The border went up to the ridge north of Jericho, and then up through the hill country westward. There it reached the wilderness of Bethaven. From there the border passed along south in the direction of Luz, the same place as Bethel. Then the border went down to Ataroth Adar, by the mountain that lies south of Beth Horon. The boundary then went in another direction. On the western side it turned toward the south, heading toward the mountain across from Beth Horon. This boundary ended at Kerioth Baal, that is Kerioth Jearim, a city that belonged to the tribe of Judah. This formed the border on the western side. The south side began just outside of Kerioth Jearim. The border went from there to Ephron, to the spring of the waters of Nephtoah. The boundary then went down to the border of the mountain, which was opposite the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which was at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. It then went down to the valley of Hinnom, south of the slope of the Jebusites, and continued down to En-Rogel. It turned northward, going in the direction of En-Shemesh, and from there it went out to Geliloth, which was opposite the ascent of Adummim. Then it went down to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. It passed on to the north of the shoulder of Beth Arabah and down to the Arabah. The border passed on to the north shoulder of Beth Hogla. The border ended at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the southern end of the Jordan. This was the boundary on the south. The Jordan formed its border on the eastern side. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Benjamin, and it was given clan by clan, border after border, all around. Now the cities of the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, were Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek Rezes, Beth Arabah, Zemaraim, Bethel, Avim, Parah, Afra, Kephar, Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba. There were 12 cities, including their villages. There were also the cities of Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kephara, Mozah, Rechem, Irpeel, Teralah, Zelah, Hileph, Jebus, the same as Jerusalem, Gibeah, and Kiriath. There were 14 cities, including their villages. This was the inheritance of Benjamin for their clans. Joshua chapter 19. The second casting of lots fell to Simeon, clan by clan. Their inheritance was in the middle of the inheritance that belonged to the tribe of Judah. They had for their inheritance Beersheba, Sheba, Moleda, Hazar, Shual, Bela, Ezam, El Tolad, Bethul, and Hormah. Simeon also had Ziklag, Beth Markabuth, Hazar, Susa, Beth Labaeth, and Sheruhen. These were 13 cities, including their villages. Simeon also had Ain, Rimmon, Ether, and Ashan. These were 4 cities, including their villages. These were together, including the villages around these cities, as far as Baalath, Beer, the same as Ramah in the Negev. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Simeon, clan by clan. The inheritance of the tribe of Simeon formed part of the territory of the tribe of Judah, because the portion of land assigned to the tribe of Judah was too large for them. The tribe of Simeon received their inheritance out of the middle of their portion. The third casting of lots fell to the tribe of Zebulun, clan by clan. The border of their inheritance began at Sarid. Their border went up westward toward Maralah and touched Dabbesheth. Then it extended to the brook that was opposite Jokanaim. From Sarid, the border turned eastward toward the sunrise and went to the border of Kisloth Tabor. From there, it went to Dabaroth and then up to Japhiah. From there, it passed on eastward to Gath Hepher and then to Eth Kazin. Next, it went to Rimmon and turned toward Nea. The border made a turn to the north to Hanathon and ended at the valley of Ithtah El. This region included the cities of Katoth, Nahlal, Shimron, Idalah, and Bethlehem. There were 12 cities, including their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Zebulun, clan by clan, including these cities, including their villages. The fourth casting of lots fell to Issachar, clan by clan. Their territory included Jezreel, Cheshuleth, Shunem, Hapharim, Shion, and Anaharath. It also included Rabbath, Kishon, Ebiz, Remeth, Enganim, Enhadar, and Beth Pazez. Their border also touched Tabor, Shazhuzumah, and Beth Shemesh, and ended at the Jordan. There were 16 cities, including their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Issachar, according to their clans, the cities, including their villages. The fifth casting of lots fell to the tribe of Asher, clan by clan. Their territory included Helkath, Hali, Beten, Akshaph, Alamelech, Amed, and Mishal. On the west, the boundary extended to Carmel and Shihor-Libnath. Then it turned eastward to Beth Dagon and went as far as Zebulun and then to the valley of Ithtah El, northward to Beth Emek and Neiel. Then it continued on to Kabul toward the north. It then went on to Abdon, Rehob, Hammon, and Cana, as far as Greater Sidon. The border turned back to Ramah, and then to the fortified city of Tyre. Then the border turned to Hosah, and ended at the sea in the region of Akzib, Ammah, Aphek, and Rehob. There were 22 cities, including their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Asher, clan by clan, the cities, including their villages. The sixth casting of lots fell to the tribe of Naphtali, clan by clan. Their border ran from Heleph, from the oak at Zaananim, on to Adami Nekeb, and Jabneel, as far as Lakum. It ended at the Jordan. The border turned westward to Asnath, Tabor, and went on to Hukok. It touched Zebulun on the south, and reached to Asher on the west, and Judah on the east at the Jordan River. The fortified cities were Zidim, Zer, Hamath, Hakath, Kinnereth, Adama, Ramah, Hazor, Kedesh, Edrei, and Enhazor. There were also Iron, Migdal-El, Horem, Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh. There were 19 cities, including their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Naphtali, clan by clan, the cities, including their villages. The seventh casting of lots fell to the tribe of Dan, clan by clan. The territory of its inheritance included Zora, Eshtaol, Ir Shemesh, Shalabin, Ajalon, and Ithlah. It also included Elon, Timnah, Ekron, Eltekeh, Gibbethon, Baaleth, Jehud, Benaberek, Gath-Rimmon, Me-Jarkon, and Rakon, along with the territory across from Joppa. When the territory of the tribe of Dan was lost to them, Dan attacked Leshem and took it. They struck it with the sword, took possession of it, and settled in it. They called Leshem Dan after the name of their ancestor Dan. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Dan, clan by clan, the cities, including their villages. When they finished the allocation of the land as an inheritance, the people of Israel gave an inheritance among themselves to Joshua, son of Nun. By the command of Yahweh, they gave him the city for which he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. He rebuilt the city and lived there. These are the inheritance that Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the leaders of the tribal clans of Israel assigned by lot at Shiloh before Yahweh at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So they finished assigning the land. Joshua chapter 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two men out from Shittim as spies. He said, Go, look over the land, especially Jericho. They went away and came to the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. It was told to the king of Jericho, Look, men of Israel have come here to spy on the land. The king of Jericho sent word to Rahab and said, Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to spy on the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She replied, Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. They left when it was dusk, when it was time for the city gate to shut. I do not know where they went. You will probably catch them if you hurry after them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. The gate was shut as soon as the pursuers went out. The men had not yet lain down for the night when she came up to them on the roof. She said, I know that Yahweh has given you the land and that the fear of you has come upon us. All those who live in the land will melt away before you.
We have heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Sea of Reeds
for you when you came out of Egypt. We also heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites on other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you completely destroyed. As soon as we had heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in anyone. For Yahweh, your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by Yahweh that just as I have been kind to you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all their families, and that you will deliver our souls from death. The men said to her, Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not speak about our business, then when Yahweh gives us this land, we will be merciful and faithful to you. So she let them down out through the window using a rope. The house in which she lived was built into the wall of the city. She said to them, Go in the hills and hide, or the pursuers will find you. Hide there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then go on your way. The men said to her, We will be free from the oath you made us swear to if you do not do this. When we come into the land, you must tie this scarlet rope in the window through which you let us down, and you will gather into the house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Whoever goes out of the doors of your house into the street, their blood will be upon their own heads, and we will be guiltless. But if a hand is laid upon any who is with you in the house, his blood will be on our head. But if you speak about our business, we will be free from the oath you made us swear. Rahab replied, May what you say be done. She sent them away, and they left. Then she tied the scarlet rope in the window. They left and went up into the hills, and they stayed there 3 days until their pursuers returned. The pursuers searched all along the road and found nothing.
The two men returned and crossed over and came back to Joshua, son of Nun, and they told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, Truly Yahweh has given this land to us. All the inhabitants of the land are melting away because of us. Joshua chapter 20. Then Yahweh said to Joshua, Speak to the people of Israel, saying, Appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you by the hand of Moses. Do this so that one who kills a person by accident or unknowingly can go there. These cities will be a place of refuge from the avenger of blood. He will run to one of those cities and will stand at the entrance of the city gate and explain his case to the elders of that city. Then they will take him into the city and give him a place for him to live among them. If the avenger of blood pursues him there, then the people of the city must not hand the one who killed him over to the authorities. They must not do this because he killed his neighbor by accident, and he had no hatred toward him in the past. He must stay in that city until he has stood before the assembly for judgment, until the death of the one who was serving as high priest in those days. Then the one who had accidentally killed the person may return to his own town and his own home, to the town from which he fled. So the Israelites selected Kadesh in Galilee, in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem, in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. Beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they selected Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth-Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities selected for all the people of Israel and for the foreigners sojourning among them, so that anyone who killed a person unintentionally could run to them for safety.
This person would not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until the accused person would first stand before the assembly. Joshua chapter 21. Then the tribal leaders of the Levites came to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua son of Nun, and to the leaders of the families of their ancestors within the people of Israel. They said to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, Yahweh commanded you by the hand of Moses to give to us cities to live in, with the pasture lands for our livestock. So by the command of Yahweh, the people of Israel gave out of their inheritance the following cities, including their pasture lands, to the Levites. The casting of lots for the clans of the Kohathites gave this result. The priests, the descendants of Aaron, who were from the Levites, received 13 cities given from the tribe of Judah, from the tribe of Simeon, and from the tribe of Benjamin. The rest of Kohath's descendants received by lot 10 cities from the clans of the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. Then the people descended from Gershon were given, by the casting of lots, 13 cities from the clans of the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The people who were descendants of Merari, clan by clan, received 12 cities from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the people of Israel gave, by casting lots, these cities, including their pasture lands, to the Levites, just as Yahweh had commanded by the hand of Moses. From the tribes of Judah and Simeon, they assigned land to the following cities, here listed by name. These cities were given to the descendants of Aaron, who were among the clans of the Kohathites, who in turn were from the tribe of Levi, for the first casting of lots had fallen to them. The Israelites gave them Kiriath Arba. Arba had been the father of Anak, the same place as Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, with the pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city, including their villages, were already given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his possession. To the descendants of Aaron the priest, they gave Hebron with its pasture lands, which was a city of refuge for anyone who killed another unintentionally, and Libnah with its pasture lands. Jatir with its pasture lands, and Eshtemoah with its pasture lands. They also gave Holon with its pasture lands, Deber with its pasture lands, Ain with its pasture lands, Juddah with its pasture lands, and Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands. There were 9 cities that were given from these 2 tribes. From the tribe of Benjamin were given Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anathoth with its pasture lands, and Almon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. The cities given to the priests, the descendants of Aaron, were 13 cities in all, including their pasture lands. As for the rest of the Kohathites, who belong to the Kohathite clans of the Levites, they had cities given to them from the tribe of Ephraim by the casting of lots. To them were given Shechem, with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, a city of refuge for anyone who killed a person unintentionally, Gezer, with its pasture lands, Gibzaim, with its pasture lands, and Beth Horon, with its pasture lands, 4 cities in all. From the tribe of Dan, the clan of Kohath was given Eltekeh, with its pasture lands, Gibbethon with its pasture lands, Aijalon with its pasture lands, and Gath-Rimmon with its pasture lands, 4 cities in all. From the half-tribe of Manasseh, the clan of Kohath was given Taanach with its pasture lands, and Gath-Rimmon with its pasture lands, 2 cities. There were 10 cities in all for the rest of the clans of the Kohathites, including their pasture lands. From the half-tribe of Manasseh to clans of Gershon, these were other Levite clans,
And they gave Golan in Bashan with its pasture lands, a city of refuge for anyone who killed another unintentionally, along with Beeshterah with its pasture lands, two cities in all. To the clans of Gershon, they also gave Kishion from the tribe of Issachar, along with its pasture lands, Daberoth with its pasture lands, Jarmuth with its pasture lands, and En-Gannim with its pasture lands, four cities. From the tribe of Asher, they gave Mishal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkath with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, four cities in all. From the tribe of Naphtali, they gave the clans of Gershon,
Kadesh,
in Galilee, with its pasture lands, a city of refuge for anyone who killed another unintentionally, Hamath Dor, with its pasture lands, and Kartan, with its pasture lands, three cities in all. There were 13 cities in all out of the clans of Gershon, including their pasture lands. To the rest of the Levites, the clans of Merari were given out of the tribe of Zebulun,
Jokneam
with its pasture lands, Kartah with its pasture lands, Dimnah with its pasture lands, and Nahalal with its pasture lands, four cities in all. To the clans of Merari were given from the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with its pasture lands, Jahaz with its pasture lands, Kedemoth with its pasture lands,
Mephaeth
with its pasture lands, four cities. Out of the tribe of Gad, they were given Ramoth in Gilead with its pasture lands, a city of refuge for anyone who killed another unintentionally,
and Maanaim
with its pasture lands. The clans of Merari were also given Heshbon with its pasture lands, and Jazer with its pasture lands. These were four cities in all. All these were the cities of the several clans of Merari who were from the tribe of Levi. 12 cities in all were given to them by the casting of lots. The cities of the Levites taken from the middle of the land possessed by the people of Israel were 48 cities, including their pasture lands. These cities each had its surrounding pasture lands. It was this way with all these cities. So Yahweh gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their ancestors. The Israelites took possession of it and settled there. Then Yahweh gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies could defeat them. Yahweh gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one thing among all the good promises that Yahweh had spoken to the house of Israel failed to come true. All of them came to be. Joshua chapter 22. At that time Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He said to them, "You have done everything that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you. You have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not deserted your brothers these many days, down to this present day, and you have fulfilled the duties required by the commandments of Yahweh, your God. Now Yahweh, your God, has given rest to your brothers, just as he promised them. Therefore turn and go to your tents in the land you possess, which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Just be very careful to observe the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you, to love Yahweh your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cling to him and worship him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went back to their tents. Now to one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given an inheritance in Bashan, but to the other half, Joshua gave an inheritance beside their brothers in the land west of the Jordan. Joshua sent them away to their tents. He blessed them and said to them, "Return to your tents with much money, and with very much livestock, and with silver and gold, and with bronze and iron, and with very many garments.
divide the plunder from your enemies with your brothers. So the descendants of Reuben, the descendants of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned home, leaving the people of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. They left to go to the region of Gilead, to their own land, which they themselves possessed, in obedience to the commandment of Yahweh by the hand of Moses. When they came to the Jordan that is in the land of Canaan, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar beside the Jordan, a very large and prominent altar. The people of Israel heard about this and said, "Look, the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar at the front of the land of Canaan at Geliloth, in the region near the Jordan, on the side that belongs to the people of Israel." When the people of Israel heard of it, the whole assembly of the people of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go up to make war against them. Then the people of Israel sent messengers to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead. They also sent Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 leaders, one from each of the tribal families of Israel, and every one of them was the head of a family among the clan of Israel. They came to the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead, and they spoke to them. "The whole assembly of Yahweh says this, 'What is this unfaithfulness that you have committed against the God of Israel by turning this day from following Yahweh, by building yourself an altar this day in rebellion against Yahweh? Was the iniquity of Peor not enough for us? Yet we have not even now cleansed ourselves from it.' There was a plague on the assembly of Yahweh for that sin. Must you also turn away from following Yahweh at this present day? If you also rebel against Yahweh today, tomorrow he will be angry with the whole assembly of Israel. If the land that you possess is defiled, then you should pass over into the land where Yahweh's tabernacle stands and take for yourselves a possession among us. Only do not rebel against Yahweh, nor rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves other than the altar of Yahweh our God. Did not Achan, son of Zerah, act faithlessly in the matter of those things that had been reserved for God? Did not wrath fall on the entire community of Israel? That man did not perish alone for his iniquity." Then the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh replied in answer to the heads of the clans of Israel, "The Mighty One, God, Yahweh, the Mighty One, God, Yahweh, he knows, and let Israel itself know. If it was in rebellion or in unfaithfulness against Yahweh, do not deliver us on this day for having built an altar to turn ourselves away from following Yahweh. If we built that altar in order to offer on it burnt offerings, grain offerings, or sacrifices of peace offerings, then let Yahweh make us pay for it. No, we did it for fear that in time to come your children might say to our children, 'What have you to do with Yahweh, the God of Israel?' For Yahweh has made the Jordan a border between us and you. You people of Reuben and people of Gad, you have nothing to do with Yahweh, so your children might make our children cease to worship Yahweh. So we said, 'Let us now build an altar, not for burnt offerings nor for any sacrifices, but to be a witness between us and you, and between our generations after us, that we will perform the service of Yahweh before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, so that your children will never say to our children in time to come, 'You have no share in Yahweh.' So we said, 'If this should be said to us or to our descendants in time to come, we would say, look, this is a copy of the altar of Yahweh, which our ancestors made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but as a witness between us and you. May it be far from us that we should rebel against Yahweh and today turn away from following him by building an altar
for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, or for sacrifices,
other than the altar of Yahweh our God that is before his tabernacle. When Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the people, that is, the heads of the clans of Israel who are with him, heard the words that the people of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh said, that it was good in their eyes. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the people of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, today we know that Yahweh is among us, because you have not committed this act of faithlessness against him. Now you have rescued the people of Israel out of the hand of Yahweh. Then Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, and the leaders returned from the Reubenites and the Gadites out of the land of Gilead back to the land of Canaan, to the people of Israel, and brought back word to them. Their report was good in the eyes of the people of Israel. The people of Israel blessed God and spoke no more about making war against the Reubenites and the Gadites in order to destroy the land where they had settled. The Reubenites and the Gadites named the altar Witness, for they said, it is a witness between us that Yahweh is God. Joshua chapter 23. After many days, when Yahweh had given rest to Israel from all their enemies that were around them, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their leaders, for their judges, and for their officials. And he said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. You have seen everything that Yahweh your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is Yahweh your God who has fought for you. Look, I have assigned to you the nations that remain to be conquered as an inheritance for your tribes, along with all the nations I have already destroyed, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. Yahweh your God will drive them out. He will push them out from you. He will seize their land, and you will take possession of their land, just as Yahweh your God promised to you. So be very strong, so that you keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, so you may not mix with these nations that remain among you, or mention the names of their gods, swear by them, worship them, or bow down to them. Instead, you must cling to Yahweh your God, just as you have done to this day. For Yahweh has driven out before you large, strong nations. As for you, no one has been able to stand before you to this present day. Any single man of your number will make 1,000 run away, for Yahweh your God is the one who fights for you just as he promised you. Pay particular attention so that you love Yahweh your God. But if you turn back and cling to the survivors of these nations who remain among you, or if you intermarry with them, or if you come together with them and they with you, then know for certain that Yahweh your God will no longer drive these nations out from among you. Instead, they will become a snare and a trap for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land that Yahweh your God has given you. Now I am going the way of all the earth, and you know with all your hearts and souls that not one word has failed to come true of all the good things that Yahweh your God promised about you. All these things have come about for you. Not one of them has failed. But just as every word Yahweh your God promised you has been fulfilled, so Yahweh will bring on you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from this good land that Yahweh your God has given you. He will do this if you break the covenant of Yahweh your God, which he commanded you to keep. If you go and worship other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of Yahweh will be kindled against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land that he has given you. Joshua chapter 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, for their leaders, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. Your ancestors long ago lived beyond the Euphrates River, Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from beyond the Euphrates and led him into the land of Canaan, and gave him many descendants through his son Isaac. Then to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians with plagues. After that I brought you out. I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. The Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Sea of Reeds. When your ancestors called out to Yahweh, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea to come over them and cover them. You saw what I did in Egypt. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. You took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, got up and attacked Israel. He sent and called for Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you. But I did not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I rescued you out of his hand. You went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. The leaders of Jericho fought against you, along with the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I gave you victory over them and put them under your control. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them and the two kings of the Amorites out before you. It did not happen by your sword or by your bow. I gave you land on which you had not worked and cities that you had not built, and now you live in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now fear Yahweh and worship him with all integrity and faithfulness. Get rid of the gods that your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and worship Yahweh. If it seems wrong in your eyes for you to worship Yahweh, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will worship Yahweh. The people answered and said, "We would never abandon Yahweh to serve other gods, for it is Yahweh our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight, and who preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the nations through whom we passed." Then Yahweh drove out before us all the peoples, including the Amorites who lived in the land. So we too will worship Yahweh, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve Yahweh, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions and sins. If you abandon Yahweh and worship foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm. He will consume you after he has done good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will worship Yahweh." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves Yahweh to worship him." They said, "We are witnesses. Now put away the foreign gods that are with you and turn your heart to Yahweh, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "We will worship Yahweh our God. We will listen to his voice." Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. He put in place decrees and laws at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. He took a large stone and set it up there beneath the oak tree that was beside Yahweh's sanctuary. Joshua said to all the people, "Look, this stone will be a testimony against us. It has heard all the words Yahweh said to us, so it will be a witness against you should you ever deny your God." So Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. After these things, Joshua son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old. They buried him within the border of his own inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Israel worshipped Yahweh all of Joshua's days, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, those who had experienced the deeds that Yahweh had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up out of Egypt, they buried them at Shechem, in the piece of land that Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. He bought it for 100 pieces of silver, and it became an inheritance for the descendants of Joseph. Eleazar, son of Aaron, also died. They buried him at Gibeah, the city of Phinehas, his son, which had been given to him. It was in the hill country of Ephraim. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua got up early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. They came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and they camped there before they crossed over. After 3 days, the officers went through the middle of the camp. They commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh your God, and the priests from the Levites carrying it, you must leave this place and follow it. There must be a distance between you and it of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come close to it, so that you can see which way to go, since you have not gone this way before." Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves tomorrow, for Yahweh will do wonders among you." Then Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass in front of the people." So they picked up the Ark of the Covenant and went in front of people. Yahweh said to Joshua, "This day I will make you a great man in the eyes of all Israel. They will know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You will command the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you have come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you must stand still in the Jordan River." Then Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of Yahweh your God." And Joshua said, "By this you will know that the living God is among you, and will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Look, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth crosses over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each. When the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of Yahweh, the Lord of all the earth, touch the waters of the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and even the waters that flow down from upstream will stop flowing, and they will stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of the people. As soon as those who were carrying the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who carried the chest were dipped in the edge of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. The waters that flowed down from upstream stood up in one heap. The water stopped flowing from a great distance. The water stopped flowing from Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, all the way down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea. The people crossed over near Jericho. The people crossed over near Jordan. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until all the people of Israel crossed over on dry ground. Joshua chapter 4. When all the people crossed over the Jordan, Yahweh said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men for yourselves from among the people, one man from each tribe. Give them this command: take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, where the priests are standing on the dry ground, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you will spend the night tonight." Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had chosen from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, "Go over before the ark of Yahweh your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel. This will be a sign in your midst for you when your children ask in days to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you will say to them, 'The waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of Yahweh. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off.' So these stones will be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." The people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and they picked up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, as Yahweh said to Joshua. They set the stones up according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel. They carried the stones with them over to the place where they camped, and they set them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River, in the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood. The memorial is there to this day. The priests who carried the Ark stood in the middle of the Jordan until everything that Yahweh commanded Joshua to tell the people was completed, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people hurried, and they crossed over. When all the people had finished crossing over, the Ark of Yahweh and the priests crossed over before the people. The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed before the people of Israel formed up as an army, just as Moses said to them. About 40,000 men, equipped for war, passed before Yahweh for battle on the plains of Jericho. On that day, Yahweh made Joshua great in the eyes of all Israel. They honored him, just as they honored Moses all his days. Then Yahweh spoke to Joshua, "Command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." When the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh came up out of the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of their feet were lifted up out on dry ground, then the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed its banks, just as they were 4 days before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. They camped in Gilgal, east of Jericho. The 12 stones that they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. He said to the people of Israel, "When your descendants ask their fathers in times to come, 'What are these stones?' tell your children, 'This is where Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. Yahweh your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you had crossed over, just as Yahweh your God did to the Sea of Reeds, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of Yahweh is mighty, and that you will honor Yahweh your God forever.'" Joshua chapter 5. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were along the coast of the great sea, heard that Yahweh had dried up the waters of the Jordan until the people of Israel had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time Yahweh said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and once more circumcise all the sons of Israel." Then Joshua made himself flint knives, and he circumcised all the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. This is the reason Joshua circumcised them. All the males who had come out of Egypt, including all the men of war, had died in the wilderness along the way, after they came out from Egypt. Though all the males who came out of Egypt were circumcised, still none of the boys born in the wilderness on the way out of Egypt had been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the people, that is, all the men of war who had come out of Egypt, died, because they did not obey the voice of Yahweh. Yahweh swore to them that he would not let them see the land that he had sworn to their ancestors that he would give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was their children that Yahweh raised up in their place, that Joshua circumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. When they were all circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they healed. Then Yahweh said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the disgrace of Egypt from you." So the name of that place has been called Gilgal until this present day. The people of Israel camped at Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. On the day after Passover, that same day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped on the day after they ate the produce of the land. There was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate the produce of the land of Canaan that year. When Joshua was near Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing in front of him. He had drawn his sword, and it was in his hand. Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" He said, "Neither, for I am the commander of the army of Yahweh. Now I have come." Then Joshua lay face down on the ground to worship and said to him, "What does my master say to his servant?" The commander of Yahweh's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, because the place you are standing is holy." That is what Joshua did. Joshua chapter 6. Now all the entrances to Jericho were closed because of the army of Israel. No one went out, and no one came in. Yahweh said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hand, its king, and its mighty warriors. You must march around the city, all the men of war going around the city one time. You must do this for 6 days. 7 priests must carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you must march around the city 7 times, and the priests must sound blasts on the trumpets. Then they must sound a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people must shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. The soldiers must attack, each one going straight ahead." Then Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns in front of the Ark of Yahweh." He said to the people, "Go over and march around the city, and the armed men will go ahead of the Ark of Yahweh." Just as Joshua had said to the people, the 7 priests carried the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before Yahweh. As they advanced, they gave a blast on the trumpets. The Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh followed after them. Armed men walked before the priests, and they made a blast on their trumpets. But then the rear guard walked up behind the ark, and the priests blew their trumpets continually. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, "Do not shout. No sound must leave your mouths until the day I tell you to shout. Only then you must shout." So he caused the Ark of Yahweh to go around the city 1 time that day. Then they entered their camp, and they stayed the night in the camp. Then Joshua got up early in the morning, and the priests picked up the Ark of Yahweh. The 7 priests, who were carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns in front of the Ark of Yahweh, walked steadily and gave blasts on the trumpets. Armed soldiers were walking in front of them. But when the rear guard walked after the Ark of Yahweh, then the trumpets gave out continual blasts. They marched around the city 1 time the 2nd day and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. It was on the 7th day that they got up early, as dawn was breaking, and they marched around the city in the same way that was their pattern, this time for 7 times. It was on this day that they marched around the city 7 times. It was on the seventh day, when the priests gave a blast with the trumpets, that Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for Yahweh has given you the city. The city and all that is in it will be set apart to Yahweh for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute will live, she and all the ones with her in her house, because she hid the messengers we sent. But as for you, be on guard about taking the things set apart for destruction, so that after you mark them for destruction, you do not then take any of them. If you do this, you will make the camp of Israel something that must be destroyed, and you will bring trouble on it. All the silver, gold, and the things made of bronze and iron are set apart to Yahweh. They must go into the treasury of Yahweh." So the people gave a great shout, and they blew on the trumpets. Now when the people heard the trumpets sound, they gave a great shout. The wall fell down flat, and every man charged straight in and captured the city. They completely destroyed all that was in the city by the edge of the sword, man and woman, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Then Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house, bring out the woman and all who are with her, as you swore to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought Rahab out. They brought out her father, mother, brothers, and all the relatives that were with her. They brought them to a place outside the camp of Israel. They burned the city and everything in it. Only the silver, gold, and the vessels of bronze and iron were put into the treasury of the house of Yahweh. But Joshua allowed Rahab the prostitute, her father's household, and all that were with her to live. She lives in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy on Jericho. Then Joshua commanded them at that time with an oath, and he said, "Cursed is the man in Yahweh's sight who rebuilds this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay the foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates." So Yahweh was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Joshua chapter 7. But the people of Israel acted unfaithfully regarding the things that were set apart for destruction. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some things that were set apart for destruction, and Yahweh's anger burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which was near Beth Avon, east of Bethel. He said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said to him, "Do not send all the people up to Ai. Send only 2,000 or 3,000 men to go up and attack Ai. Do not make all the people labor in battle, for they are few in number." So only about 3,000 men went up from the army, but these ran away from the men of Ai. The men of Ai killed about 36 men as they pursued them from the city gate as far as to the stone quarries, and they killed them as they were going down a hill. The hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his garments, he and the elders of Israel, put dust on their heads and lay face down on the ground in front of the ark of Yahweh, remaining there until evening. Then Joshua said, "Ah, Yahweh Lord, why have you brought this people across the Jordan at all, to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we made a different decision and we had stayed on the other side of the Jordan. Lord, what can I say after Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it. They will surround us and make the people of the earth forget our name. What will you do for your great name?" Yahweh said to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying there on your face? Israel has sinned. They have broken my covenant, which I commanded them. They have stolen some of the things that were set apart. They have stolen and then also hidden their sin by putting what they have taken among their own belongings. As a result, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turned their backs from their enemies because they themselves have been set apart for destruction. I will not be with you any more unless you destroy the things that should have been destroyed but are still among you. Get up, consecrate the people to me, and say to them, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, there are things set apart to be destroyed that are still among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove from among you all the things that were set apart to be destroyed. In the morning, you must present yourselves by your tribes. The tribe that Yahweh selects will come near by their clans. The clan that Yahweh selects must come near by each household. The household that Yahweh selects must come near one by one. It will happen that the one who is selected and who has those things that were set apart for destruction, he will be burned, he and all he has, because he has broken the covenant of Yahweh and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua got up early in the morning and brought Israel near, tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was selected. Joshua brought the clans of Judah near, and the clan of the Zerahites was selected. He brought near the clan of the Zerahites person by person, and Zabdi was selected. He brought Zabdi's household near, person by person, and Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, was selected. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and give praise to him. Please tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan answered Joshua, truly, I have sinned against Yahweh, the God of Israel. This is what I did. When I saw among the plunder a beautiful coat from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I desired them and took them. They are hidden in the ground in the middle of my tent, and the silver is under it. Joshua sent messengers who ran to the tent, and there were the things. When they looked, they found them hidden in his own tent, and the silver under them. They took the items from the middle of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. They poured them out before Yahweh. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, son of Zerah, and the silver, the coat, the bar of gold, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. Then Joshua said, why have you troubled us? Yahweh will trouble you today. All Israel stoned him with stones. Then they stoned the rest with stones and burned them with fire. They set up over him a great heap of stones that is here until this day. Yahweh turned away his burning anger. Therefore the name of the place has been called the Valley of Achor until this present day. Joshua chapter 8. Yahweh said to Joshua, do not fear, do not be discouraged. Take with you all the people of war. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You will do to Ai and her king as you have done to Jericho and her king, except that you will take the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. So Joshua got up and took all the men of war up to Ai. Then Joshua chose 30,000 men, mighty warriors, and he sent them out at night. He commanded them, "Look, you will lie in ambush against the city, behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. I and all the men with me will approach the city, and when they come out to attack us, we will run away from them just as before. They will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city. They will say, 'They are running away from us as they did the last time.' So we will run away from them. Then you come up out of your place of hiding, and you will capture the city. Yahweh, your God, will give it into your hand. When you capture the city, you will set it on fire. You will do this when you obey the command given in the word of Yahweh. See, I have commanded you." Joshua sent them out, and they went to the place of ambush, and they hid between Bethel and Ai to the west of Ai. But Joshua slept that night among the people. Joshua got up early in the morning and got his soldiers ready, Joshua and the elders of Israel, and they attacked the people of Ai. All the fighting men who were with him went up and approached the city. They came near the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush on the west side of the city between Bethel and Ai. They positioned all the soldiers, the main army on the north side of the city, and the rear guard on the west side of the city. Joshua spent that night in the valley. It came about when the king of Ai saw it, he and his army got up early and rushed out to attack Israel at a certain place that was overlooking the Jordan River Valley. He did not know that an ambush was waiting to attack from behind the city. Joshua and all Israel let themselves be defeated before them, and they fled toward the wilderness. All the people who were in the city were called together to go after them, and they went after Joshua, and they were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai and Bethel who had not gone out to pursue Israel. They abandoned the city and left it open as they pursued Israel. Yahweh said to Joshua, "Point that spear in your hand toward Ai, for I will give Ai into your hand." Joshua held out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. The soldiers hiding in ambush quickly rushed out of their place as he reached out with his hand. They ran and entered the city and captured it. They quickly set the city on fire. The men of Ai turned and looked back. They saw the smoke from the city rising into the sky, and they could not escape this way or that, for the Israelite soldiers who had fled into the wilderness now turned back to face those who were pursuing them. When Joshua and all Israel saw the ambush had captured the city with the smoke rising, they turned around and killed the men of Ai. The others came out from the city against them, so that they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. Israel attacked the men of Ai. None remained of those who survived or escaped. They kept the king of Ai, whom they captured alive, and they brought him to Joshua. It came about, when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the field near the wilderness where they pursued them, and when all of them, to the very last one, had fallen by the edge of the sword, all Israel returned to Ai. They attacked it with the edge of the sword. All those who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he had reached out while holding his spear, until he had completely destroyed all the people of Ai. Israel took only the livestock and the plunder from the city for themselves, just as Yahweh had commanded Joshua. Joshua burned Ai and turned it into a heap of ruins forever. It is a devastated place to this day. He hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. When the sun was going down, Joshua gave the command, and they took the king's body down from the tree and threw it in front of the city gate. There they set up a great heap of stones on top of it. That heap remains there to this day. Then Joshua built an altar to Yahweh, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of Yahweh, had commanded the people of Israel, as it was written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar from uncut stones on which no one has wielded an iron tool. He offered on the altar burnt offerings to Yahweh, and they sacrificed peace offerings. There, in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses. All Israel, their elders, officers, and their judges, stood on both sides of the ark before the priests and Levites who carried the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, the foreigner as well as the native-born. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and the other half stood in front of Mount Ebal. They blessed the people of Israel, just as Moses, the servant of Yahweh, had commanded them at first. Afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as they had been written in the book of the law. There was not one word from all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read in front of the assembly of Israel, including the women, the little children, and the foreigners who lived among them. Joshua chapter 9. Then all the kings who lived beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowlands along the shore of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites, these gathered themselves together under one command to wage war against Joshua and Israel. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they acted with a cunning plan. They went as messengers. They took worn-out sacks and put them on their donkeys. They also took old wineskins that were worn, torn, and had been repaired. They put old and patched sandals on their feet and dressed in old, worn-out clothing. All the bread in their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have traveled from a very far country, so now make a covenant with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live near us. How can we make a covenant with you?" They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Joshua said to them, "Who are you? Where did you come from?" And they said to him, "Your servants have come here from a land very far away because of the fame of Yahweh your God. We have heard a report about him and about everything that he did in Egypt and everything that he did to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey. Go to meet them and say to them, "We are your servants. Make a treaty with us. This is our bread. It was still warm when we took it from our houses on the day we set out to come to you. But now, see, it is dry and moldy. These wineskins were new when we filled them, and look, now they are leaking. Our garments and our sandals are worn out from a very long journey." So the Israelites took some of their provisions, but they did not consult with Yahweh for guidance. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. The leaders of the people also swore a vow to them. 3 days after the Israelites made this covenant with them, they learned that they were their neighbors and that they lived nearby. Then the people of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Their cities were Gibeon, Kephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. The people of Israel did not attack them because their leaders had taken an oath about them before Yahweh, the God of Israel. The whole community was grumbling against their leaders. But all the leaders said to all the people, "We have taken an oath concerning them by Yahweh, the God of Israel, and now we cannot harm them. This is what we will do to them, to avoid any wrath that may come on us because of the oath we swore to them, we will let them live." The leaders said to their people, "Let them live." So the Gibeonites became cutters of wood and drawers of water for all the Israelites, just as the leaders said about them. Joshua called for them and said, "Why did you deceive us when you said, 'We are very far from you,' when you live right here among us? Now because of this, you are cursed, and some of you will always be slaves, those who cut wood and draw water for the house of my God." They answered Joshua and said, "Because it was told to your servants that Yahweh, your God, commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you, so we were very afraid for our lives because of you. That is why we did this thing. Now, look, you hold us in your power. Whatever seems good and right for you to do to us, do it." So Joshua did this for them. He delivered them out of the control of the people of Israel, so that the people of Israel did not kill them. That day, Joshua made the Gibeonites cutters of wood and drawers of water for the community and for the altar of Yahweh, to this day, in the place that Yahweh chooses.